I should say, you are listening live. Except it is not live. To a group of people sitting at the Plan 9 Ale House? Is that what
that's what it's called?
In scenic Escondido, California.
We're surrounded with paper flags from many countries.
Yes, and we are on the deck, and we are drinking beer, and we have had
It's all right.
No. The last time somebody had us take their picture, so this is not anything new.
We just saw a beautiful sunset.
The beautiful sunset. I'm here with Steve Lutz.
Hey,
Greg Noss.
Hi,
and listeners, Andrew Lawrence.
Hello.
One-time panelist David Sparks.
Hello.
And Marshall Clough. Have you ever listened to The Incomparable?
No.
That was the thousand-yard stare. I get that sometimes from people who've listened. Marshall is here too, and we're just sitting around talking because that's what we do after I go to Comic-Con. Even though nobody else here went to Comic-Con.
This is when we bring Jason down from the ledge over a couple of beers.
Thank you. So you're listening live to Greg Noss's resignation letter.
Emotional breakdown.
So I want to get back to what you were saying, because we were recording that and therefore nobody heard, which is that...
I used to think I was a good audio engineer, but no. Turns out there are people who... Oh, no, never mind.
No, that was a totally different thing. So Greg, your point was that when you were in your little bubble as a nerd in high school, you... See, this is what I'm doing. I'm recapping what we missed. You knew stuff. You were an expert on nerdy things.
There were things that were mine.
You were alpha nerd.
And among my friends, among the people that I knew the most about X, Y, and Z.
Well,
and
gamma.
They were important things, like science fiction,
beta,
and computer.
Yes.
And with the advent of the internet, I mean, a lot's been said about nerd culture and how you can find people that share your thing. But the downside of that is you're no longer the big fish. You are just some sad little wannabe compared to what the internet can produce. There is always somebody who's better at something than you. Somebody who's smarter and cares more and has
is nerdier than you and is willing to do... This happened... I learned this... never fight an effort war with fans, right? That, like, you think, oh, I'm going to make it my thing. I'm mildly interested in this subject. I'm going to build a database about this subject. And then you discover, no, there is somebody obsessive out there who will literally spend all of their waking hours working on
it. And they've already done it.
And these days they've already done it, yes.
Well, it's good. You don't have to. You can just go revel in it.
Yes, but you used to be able to say, I'm the guy who cares the most about this. This is my thing. My thing has been taken from me. And not in a good way.
You've been married for a long time.
Now you are adrift in a cold, uncaring world.
Seriously, yeah. I am 46 years old, and this is my midlife crisis. Is I don't know what I am anymore.
I am no longer King Dork.
Okay, so...
I am but a page.
I defined myself for 30 years as computer programmer. And I've realized over the last 3 or 4 years that there are... You can throw a rock on the internet and hit... 10 people who are a better computer programmer than I am.
And you should. I highly recommend that.
That's, by the way, it's real easy to take their money.
So I realize...
Maybe that's the thing.
I'm not...
I only met you one beer and a plate of fries ago. But it seems to me that that suggests that you found balance.
If it is, it sucks. I don't need life balance. I need something that I care about, that I'm good at.
So your self-worth is wrapped up in nerdiness.
Absolutely.
And you don't cut it.
That's the saddest thing.
Totally. 100%.
Your midlife crisis, instead of buying a Porsche, you build a TARDIS in your front yard.
I could hardly recommend buying a convertible. It works really well.
That would presume that my programmer career went much better than it has.
Well, maybe if you were as good as those guys on the internet.
Yeah.
But this is
the other side of finding your group.
So, yeah, but here's the thing. So why is The Incomparable the way it is actually a version of the same thing, which I said this on episode 200, I think, which is I don't care enough about anything to do a podcast about it.
But you care about the podcast.
That's
none
right.
of this would happen
that's
without
why I'm
you.
Starting it. Well, no, sure. But in terms of being enthusiastic about, like, media, but different kinds, it's like I'm never going to make a Star Trek podcast. Let Scott do that. I'm never going to make a
Loser.
Doctor Who podcast. Let Erica and Chip do that. Because I'm sort of interested in those things, but not enough to talk about it every week. And so I'm right there with you on one level. I am not the world's foremost authority on nerdiest person of any of these things that I probably thought that I was at some point. I'm just okay with it and don't consider that a crisis in my life.
But you have enough enthusiasm for the podcast that your thing is the podcast.
Is my thing the podcast? Oh, God.
Sorry to break it to you, Jason.
Is this an intervention?
Awful thing to say.
This isn't a real microphone. We're not recording this.
Jason, why do you think
we love you, but you have a problem.
I do all my conversations this way, with headphones in and microphones turned on.
I honestly have this sense of, I don't know what I'm good at anymore. Because it used to be easy. I was the nerd. I was the dork. I was the guy who cared about...
Isn't that past tense sweet?
Wait, but what's below a loser? It's a you know, it's...
I think
it's
you're above
nerd
it.
Culture. Nerd culture has exploded because caring about stuff is cool. And I just kind of... Everybody's better at something than I am. And you discover that through the internet.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you're young. What the hell do you know?
I got beat up too. Shut up. I don't know. It seems to me that the things that used to define nerd culture, when they broke into pop culture, the framework around, or the things that people use to mark their enthusiasm changed, right? I just by numbers, I don't think the people who really enjoy cosplaying and, you know, stitching their costumes for that one weekend in July.
Cosplaying, by the way, is when you dress up in a Bill Cosby sweater.
Yes.
It's amazing. Yeah. You should try it.
You come to the CosCon with your lovely wife, Camille.
Yep.
It just doesn't seem to me that those folks
at this
also
point, Glenn Fleischman inserts something about rape.
Yep.
Okay, but they have something they care about, and I just feel like what I cared about, how I defined myself has been totally overwhelmed by what is available to me to see through the internet. There is always somebody who's going to know more than what you think you're good at. There's always going to be somebody who is better at what you think you have a chance to be the best at.
And if you invest your self-worth in being the best at something... The internet will crush that, or the most enthusiastic about something.
Right.
The internet will crush that into a fine paste.
You're saying that I should, like, build my self-worth around my children and my family?
No. Come on, dude.
Where does that end up?
Yeah.
In pain. So this reminds me of an article.
You know, you are the best at making your kids.
I read a couple
years
ago.
Nobody else has done it quite the same way.
Microsoft.
Are you sure? So you're saying I made my kids?
In China.
As far as I know.
Did you promise that?
As far as I know.
And one of the taglines that they had at the Microsoft Research Center in China was, remember, if you're one in a million, there are 1,000 more just like you in China.
I think Greg needs to be brought down from the ledge right now.
He's actually crept up there, hasn't he? Very wound up about the internet.
I know that.
I swear to God, I
come my midlife crisis. 5 years or so, right?
Gotta say that.
Sorry, I'm listening to Greg's midlife crisis. Say that again.
I'm trying to. You said you've only been going to Comic Con the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, that's right.
Greg, you said you went once
22 years ago.
Okay. Anybody else?
I was smart enough not to go back.
Yeah, I've gone a couple of times.
Yeah. So I used to go when it really was. I'm one of those who says, I was going to it when it was in Golden Hall.
He's cosplaying, I think.
That is.
I remember being in Golden Hall.
You know, back when I used to go to the Comic-Con.
Yes, no.
My lovely wife, Camille, Rudy.
The last several years, I've made a tradition for myself.
You see?
Hey, Fat Albert.
When it's the week of Comic-Con, I come up and get off my lawn tweet about Comic-Con.
Nice.
And, because I went when it was in Golden Hall, when it was just rows and rows and rows of comic dealers and lawn boxes.
Yeah. They're still there, but I walk by them and think I can probably order these on the internet or download them as digital files. But they're still there.
And not have to carry them home.
And not carry them home, yeah.
Can you bag and board an iPad, though, Jason?
Well, you can, but you can't use it once it's in there. So you can't really read the comic when it's in there either.
There should be an iPad case that's like a comic book bag and board situation.
See,
that would sell well.
Okay, I don't feel so bad about being a loser anymore.
Yeah.
I'm here to serve.
Greg, though, sometimes I take this as a badge of honor. Like, I was never that that kind of comic book guy, right? So I always liked the stories and all that, but I was never in the obsessive, like,
right.
It's near mint and it's... I'm bad.
When you were growing up, you
that.
Took some level of pride in something that you knew about that nobody else cared about as much as you.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
And when that...
I think kids do that because kids don't know... You know, when you're a kid, you don't know anything about anything. When you're a kid, the whole world... Like, I was listening to my wife talk to my son the other day, and he just asked a basic question, like, why is it called this? And she had a complete answer of, like, well, it's called that because of this and this and this. You're a kid, the entire world is like that. The adults know everything about everything, and you know nothing. And this is why kids,
and roughly
like...
roughly a week later, the adults know nothing.
Well, this is why... That's true, when they're teenagers. But this is why they kids do things like they obsess about, like, all the Pokemon cards, or... Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is, because it's like it gives them a little bit of
Minecraft.
Domain knowledge that they have complete control over. Minecraft.
My 15-year-old cares about nothing but baseball, and he thinks it's some sort of social advantage, which is really cute.
It is, though. Baseball is one of those things where you can cross, you can bridge to people
no,
who are not necessarily
no.
nervous.
You'd be better off knowing about Minecraft.
No, no, well, no, but you can sit at a bar next to somebody who is not a loser, was never a loser, and talk about baseball. Strike up a conversation.
Yes, but
you haven't talked to my son.
Obsession is its own kind of nerdiness.
But yet, you're right, that you as a kid can find something that you care about and claim as your own, independent from your parents.
Right.
And,
and you get some pride
about it.
Well, that's,
see,
there
the
wasn't
thing,
an online.
Here's the thing.
The
is,
world
is
was safe and contained.
Well, except that actually you couldn't really do that. You still had a shot of running into somebody at school or whatever who knew more about...
Oh, boy, you hate that person when they show up, right?
Yes,
see, these kids now have the advantage of having the internet to draw on, so they can still
they can
the biggest dork in their bubble very easily just by using the internet as a resource, whereas you did not have that advantage.
They got nothing but time.
Yep. That's true, too.
I just, this, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the internet helps people find their community. But what does it do to your self-esteem when you feel like you no longer have a place in your community?
Somewhere out there, there's a community of people who feel like they have no place in their community. And that is where you'll be.
And I think meta. You may be the best one.
So I
guarantee there's a
right.
Bulletin forum.
You know what? This little diatribe
right.
you've gone on, I think, sets you at least in the top five.
Yeah. Just, there's some other guy out there with a podcast that's entirely about this.
Come on. You got to bring the man down.
It's bottomless, man.
So...
Cheers.
I sometimes have this.
Oh, that was good. Go ahead.
I volunteered at the local high school. Go out and do officiating at track meets and cheer the kids on the cross country team and so on. Because my son ran cross country at the local high school, and it's interesting talking to the kids there. It's like, I want to be a really good runner. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you need to have talent and you need to work really hard.
Forget it.
Yeah. No, actually, some of them work really, really
right,
hard.
Right, yeah.
And they don't, a lot of them, and you need some luck, too. You know, most of the ones that I talk to actually have luck, because they were born in a place. And,
right,
and
that had track teams.
Attending a school that has a track team and that people are, and they have enough free time that they can be serious about it. But, yeah, it's like to be successful at anything, whether it be being a nerd or whatever. You need to be, you need to work hard at it, and you need to work.
Is there some? I think there's some pride in being good at something too. That in anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I took. We're eating the last of the French fries. Huh? Running.
Yeah,
bloody running.
She fell down. She got road rash.
This is good podcasting, by the way.
In the show notes.
I think it's about being good at something. I remember I took piano lessons for like 4 years when I was a kid, 5 years. And at some point I told my instructor that I was really... I was frustrated because I wasn't very good at it. And, you know, I was good at the music reading and the theory, but my fingers on the keys, it was just, I had a hard time. And she said, well, that's okay. You know, you know, not everybody is good at it. You can still, like, take pleasure in being able to play the piano and all that. And as an adult, I see that now. But I also see the fact that, personality-wise, I am no different than I was then, which is, I want to be good at things, and I'm not interested in doing things I'm not good at.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in
I'm going to call BS
that.
On the piano teacher, because there's no joy, even as an adult, in sucking at playing the piano. It's just,
yeah.
You have to have some level of confidence.
I wish I played it better than I
and
do now. now, but
to even
I don't
appreciate noodling around on the piano. Yeah. You have to have some basic level of competence, or else you're just sitting there going, dong.
I could read the
dong.
Music, but I could never play.
So
the,
maybe
play
it's
the
a function of skill level and introduction to the internet and my age, but I am as good as I am going to get at what I consider my thing. You know, any number of things. It's I'm not going to get better. And I know a lot of people who are better at my things than I am.
Mm-hmm. Why would you think you can't get better at anything that you're...
I'm an old broken
things?
Man.
You're not an old broken man.
Seriously.
You got a lot of years to go.
Greg,
at
you
least
know...
One.
At least one. It's going to be a good year.
At least now, one.
Is that the calendar years or...
No, if you've reached the point where there's a hug happening.
David Sparks is hugging Greg.
There's a hug.
Greg, I was going to say, actually, complaining about your life and about how you're a complete failure.
I'm the best at it.
You are so good at that.
Honestly, I don't know too many who are better. Oh, yeah, the car's going by.
Yep.
No, if you've reached the point in your life where you've decided you cannot improve at things,
your age is an attitude, and I am 107.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if age is an attitude, I'm 17.
Well, Greg has been like this for a while now, though. This is the thing, which is funny because he's got his beautiful wife and his three kids and all of that. But you know, it doesn't matter. It goes against the narrative of here, which is that Greg is very unhappy and frustrated.
I'm not unhappy. I don't know where to go. I don't know what the next thing is.
Hair plugs and a convertible.
Well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
We got both kinds of music Sonic, here. Country and Western.
Closing time.
Well, fine. Like that. I thought it was
Every
an interesting topic.
There's another beginning.
So, by the way, our table over at Stone is now ready.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Yes, we made an attempt to return to Stone World Bistro and Gardens.
So we could take that lady's picture again.
That's right. It was not to be, however.
No.
Many, many people had the same idea, including a private party, which blocked off the entire back end of the garden.
It was the 10th high school reunion. Let's hear it for the class of 04.
The back corner of the garden, incidentally, being where they tuck people like us to keep us away from the people who are trying to
eat. Why would people who graduated from high school 10 years ago have a party at a beer garden when they can't drink?
It's basically the plot of the Veronica Mars movie, I think.
They graduated 10 years ago. They can drink.
He graduated like 30 years ago, and he can't drink.
I had a beer.
You did. You did.
I'm sweating it out now.
The lowest level of alcohol possible. And...
Maybe you're the best at not being able to drink a lot of beer. I'm grasping for you here. Don't expect a hug.
You're grasping
That's the
for
best
my
you're
thing?
Getting for me. Yes, that's exactly right.
I didn't mean to you know, have an existential crisis any more than usual.
Well, it is your thing.
It is your thing, but, man.
Has this conversation been going on since college?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much. Although I will say that one of the funnier things, a very Greg-like, actually, piece of work, which was Steve's bio for... Oh, we got broken glass there in the background. That's nice.
Yeah.
Steve's bio on the old TV site was Steve Lutz works all day with computers. Steve Lutz never has known the companionship of other human beings.
Lutz hates himself and others.
Please kill
Please
Steve
kill
Lutz.
Steve.
That was a very Greg-like, I thought.
But I couldn't have written
that. I work
that.
With the computers and I am miserable and I and kill me.
So most everything in this bar is concrete. I suspect leads to broken glass.
Concrete plus glass equals
the bad sign.
Noises like that that you just heard.
If they could even hear it. Hey, other side of the table.
Hey, other side of the table.
How's it going over there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you guys have to speak up because, you know.
Hello, posterity.
Yes.
I'm just feeling really
Posterity doesn't listen to this show.
David, some people actually know who you are, and you say
like
you've said
you
almost nothing.
Moved to the legs,
it was stop motion.
Yeah.
Stop
that was really
motion.
Good.
Oh, yeah, the
Maybe
Harryhausen microphone.
You're the next Harryhausen.
Yeah. Any of this ring true or false to you?
I don't know. I feel like I'm having more fun now than I've ever had, and I'm learning new things and just going for it.
I mean, I think I'm... The internet hit when I was at that age of all things are being discovered and wonderful. I mean, I think I'm exactly Steve's age. So I went to college, and
13?
There was this cool thing called the internet,
kids
and I could go use it in
punks.
in the rec room where they had a serial terminal that went back to the computer room. And then later, you know, dial-up type things started to happen.
Yeah,
and then it all got faster from there.
Usenet.
Yeah, I still miss Usenet.
It's still around.
It was a long road from your bubble to the hatred that is the internet.
Usenet was one of those places that I discovered people like things more than I did.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
The entire alt hierarchy is people liking things more than
I suppose that's true.
Well, yeah,
I was thinking about Wreck-Guard Star Trek, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's exactly true. And so when I was at whatever it was, you know, 17, 18, 19, and discovering things and discovering I was really enthusiastic about things, I was also discovering the internet. And I discovered very, very quickly that there are all that I can find people who share my interests and enable my interests and deliver a feeling of normalcy for my freak flag interest. And there are always people who are going to be way freakier on this interest than I am.
Rule 34.
So that is a vastly more healthy attitude than Greg to the exact same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because Greg wants to be the leader of that group, and you're just happy there's a group.
I think in Greg's defense, though, Greg was there before. He was there.
This is why I don't want to be on the fucking podcast anymore.
There we go.
I remember what it was like. To I be think in Greg is. We're old enough. We remember the little pond, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Which I've enjoyed the internet for 30 years. I mean, I had my first...
I haven't enjoyed the internet for about 10 years, but before that it was pretty great.
But just... Lately, I just feel overwhelmed by it. And maybe that's just... That is the marker of being old. You know, everything that was invented before you were 30 is natural in the order of the world, and everything that was invented between 30 and 60 is kind of new and strange, and everything that's invented after you're 60 is against God.
So you're before your time.
Yes.
That's an old soul.
Getting a ramp up.
So you're like, what, 62?
In so many ways. My hip hurts.
I'm sorry.
I've been sitting for an hour or so.
I just decided at roughly age 20 or so that I would be perfectly satisfied with being mediocre at everything I set my hand to.
You're not, though, Rick.
The fact that I'm not mediocre at everything is just frosting. See, I would have been satisfied with mediocrity.
I'm good at
frosting. There are a lot of things that I'm mediocre at, and there are a good number of things that I suck horribly at. Podcasting happens to be one of them. However...
And yet Skeletor.
Yes. Yes.
So
let's play that clip now.
Yeah, no, let's not do that. Even I'm tiring of the clip loop.
Yeah.
although you missed an opportunity in episode 200 to play the clip loop back to back.
Well, in
the
fact,
second listener.
In fact, a discarded cut from that episode involved the beginning of another loop, and then it was going to be sped up to rapid speed, and then cut back down at the end.
Right.
And I just decided it was still just too much clip.
See, now you're making my work harder for me at the end of the year, though, because I got to figure out a way to wrap in the second listener who mentioned the previous listener.
Well.
But I think
fortunately, I have that alternate take of that episode clip to play right now.
You need the same chart.
That was
they did
it. That
for
was
Primer.
Good, wasn't it? That was really
Somebody
good.
Somebody made a chart.
I played the clip right here at the bar.
Some sad soul.
That was awesome, Jason.
Yeah, it was a great clip.
I was impressed somebody the way you just pulled out your phone and you had it.
I had the clip right
screen.
There.
It's his ringtone.
I dropped it right in. It is. It's, yeah. It's the recursive clip loop.
Unfortunately, the Plan 9 Alehouse has imploded.
I did love the fact that a listener did the chart of how the recursive clip loop works.
It actually is much more straightforward than you would think.
It's not like
it's actually just a
Primer
line.
Or something where it's like, well, they take the box back in time and play the Skeletor clip.
Primer.
Yeah, or some of you know it as Primer. You like to pronounce it incorrectly.
Primer is
Primera, yes. Anyway, yeah, it's less complicated.
Premier. You're an English soccer fan.
Sure.
Premier.
Sure, Premier.
P. Reimer.
Okay. That works. Anyway, Greg, I don't know what to tell you.
There is nothing wrong with not being the best.
Yeah, we're getting to the end of your hour.
Just make your next appointment. Being the best. What you said.
Fine.
Is Greg's time almost up?
Yeah. We'll meet back here in a week.
Yes. Session 2.
This could be your thing.
You know, I was listening to TED Talks on the way down. Would you like to talk about that?
Huh? Are you good at that?
No.
Okay.
I should have.
Who is TED and what does he say?
He just talks.
Gonna do. Oh, well, that gives us an opportunity to get into How I Met Your Mother fanfic.
No wonder you're feeling so bad about yourself. You're listening to TED Talks. Those people.
No, I was just using that as a threat.
People.
I didn't listen to that.
All right. You can't be a... Don't believe them, the TED Talk people. They don't even... They're all actors.
They told me how to wash my hands.
Yeah, they'll make you feel bad about how you use a paper towel.
Is there a TED Talk on that?
Yep. Apparently you can save the world by just using one paper towel.
These are the reasons why the internet makes me sad.
Isn't that like a MacGyver thing where you use it to like create a water filter for somebody in Africa?
No, it's just drying your hands.
That's less depressive.
It's good.
All right then.
This atmospheric sound is great.
Oh yeah, that was Elton John, Benny and the Jets, a classic from the 70s.
Fifth
boots.
Caller wins tickets to REO Speedwagon at the Fairplex.
Elton John currently residing in the Where Are They Now file.
No, he's actually a knight.
No, that's he's playing.
But it's okay, because
he's live here tonight.
He's live.
We're watching Attack of the Planet.
Why are we talking while Elton John is playing over the video loop of Attack of the Planets? Here at Plan 9.
I would invite anybody else who has a topic to bring it up.
No, I think you're doing just fine, thank you.
Lenny and the Jets.
There we go.
Oh, dear.
It's not a podcast until they're singing. Come on.
So, you could say that maybe this ending was stretched out a little long.
Lenny and the Jets.
It's the Lord of the Rings of its time, really. Huh? Huh?
I thought that was
movies with stretched out endings? Oh.
No.
I thought the part where Elton John.
The momentum has been lost.
I thought the part where Elton John went and said goodbye to Benny at the dock when Benny was being taken into the West was a bit much.
That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that was Elton John, Benny and the Jets. Yeah,
they're neuroses, not psychoses.
Well, you'll get there.
When I kill people, that's psychosis.
Yeah, you'll get there. You're well on your way. See, that's the thing. You only have to
turn
take
on the
down
microphone.
Those people on
Let's
the
talk about Steve's becomes... drinking problem instead.
My problem is I've only had 1.5 beers.
Yeah.
That is a sad state of affairs.
I think we turn the microphone on and Greg immediately makes like confessions about his inner thoughts. I think that's telling.
Confessions with Greg.
Confessions with Greg. Episode 1. You're listening now.
Episode 1.
Now on the Incomparable Network.
Yes, that's right. It's a new network spinoff. Confessions of Greg.
Just run the same episode every week.
Different words, same episode.
I'm envisioning it as kind of a thing where I call you on your phone and I check in to make sure you're okay. But I post that.
Third episode is just an hour of sobbing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. This is Greg Noss.
This is episode
talking.
5, yep. The fetal position.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
I really regret coming down here tonight.
The beauty of the internet is you can find those people that are bigger losers than you, and you can actually end
See,
them.
That's the thing. You're so
you
negative
at the top
this.
Of the heap. You're so negative about
it.
And the internet makes it easy to find them.
I was trying to make a serious point. And it's not necessarily self-pitying, it's just something that I've experienced, where coming to terms with the fact that there is always somebody who cares more than you. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
I seriously
always.
Think that the podcast is something that I you know, I've thought about starting half a dozen different podcasts, and it never gets beyond thinking about it. You did it. This is the 200-nth episode of this silly thing.
Oh, this isn't going to be an episode. That's crazy talk.
You know, I look on the site, you scroll back to the beginning of the archives, and that was 2010. 2010 was a hell of a long time ago.
I know. The Giants have won 2 World Series since then.
Really?
Hey, how many of the Dodgers had in that day?
How many of the Padres have?
About the same as the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So
only with one
does
World
that, mean, does that mean they're in first place in the NL West now, too?
They're in third! We're happy with that. See, this is the
Sorry
thing.
Sorry you mentioned 2010, Greg. You know where I'm going to go.
Greg, you know what? as a maybe being a Padres fan would be healthy for you. You can learn to appreciate always having somebody better.
My dad's a Cubs fan. I get come by it naturally.
Uh-huh. When you're in third, you just this is what Cubs. You need to do. You need to focus on the Rockies and the Diamondbacks of this world. Cubs. The ones who are less.
Cubs just lost 2 out of 3.
Less sad.
To the Padres.
To the Padres.
Wow.
And
baseball again. Hi, Tony.
And besides, we got that
not
great
Tony
Cubs
Gwynn.
Highlight just Tony's earlier this not, week.
And hi to Tony
where
Gwynn.
A guy, where a yes, guy went out to
up in baseball heaven.
Pick up a ball down in left field line.
Yeah, and then
in the cornfield.
In the dirt.
And threw it into the dirt for an inside
not
the park
cornfield.
Home run.
The cornfield with
that was a beautiful
the Field of Dreams cornfield.
They kept showing it again.
Not the Anthony cornfield.
Well, wouldn't you?
How do you know they're different?
I mean, the only...
Oh man!
The thing that might actually knock that off of the constant repeat of bloopers is Ruben Rivera base running.
The topic is not baseball. What is happening here? What is happening? Although Steve and I, if you missed that, Steve and I are now conjecturing about whether the Field of Dreams cornfield is also where Anthony sends people in the Twilight Zone. If that's one cornfield,
yes, it's a single cornfield.
That's kind of awesome.
Yes, the ghosts of great baseball players past have to like jog around people who are half Jack in the Box.
Wasn't that a great the Ruben Rivera thing? Wasn't that a beautiful thing? Oh man,
Ruben was the one who swiped somebody's glove and sold it on eBay, right?
Uh-huh.
He was even as a Padre, he was.
He did that as a Yankee.
Yes. But he still had the stink of the Padres on him.
Of course he did.
Everybody knew
Yankee.
It was probably the Padres exposure.
Stink of the Padres.
Him.
But he was saved his best on field work for when he was a Giant.
Oh, the worst base running the toot blam, the best toot blam of all time. Do you guys know what a toot blam is? Thrown out
on
the
base
path.
Five character, right?
No, yes it is. Thrown out on the base paths like a nincompoop, toot blam. It's a thing. And that was the worst.
Was
yeah.
Beautiful
ever.
Thing.
I love the word nincompoop. That's a great word.
It's the best at what it does.
Shit.
Okay, well, burn my house to the ground, get a new name, disappear.
So let's see. Actually, that's an interesting hook to bring us back to an incomparable topic.
Interesting.
You must hate Wolverine.
He's the best at what he does.
I'm the best there is at what I
and
do.
And what he does isn't very nice.
But Greg does not aspire to do things that aren't very nice, so he doesn't really care.
I'm
starting to.
Actually,
you can find your hatred for Wolverine.
I think you're onto something about how one of the things that the internet exposes in all of us is the fact that we are not quite the unique and precious flower that we were all told we were going to be. That we
well,
are.
That we desperately needed to convince ourselves that we were.
Yes. Well, I wonder if today's generation doesn't try to convince themselves of that because instead they just embrace the fact that there are 50 people out there who like the same
thing.
The thing is, probably 60 to 70% of the people out there who seem like they know more about certain things than you are just copying what somebody else wrote so that they can seem like they're more well versed in those topics.
And I think everybody on Instagram is
so, yeah, it's probably more like 90.
Cats.
There's one guy, really, at the top of
every
heap,
and
everybody else just sponges off of his work.
Well, I was thinking specifically of the podcast. I mean, this is a unique group of people who know a lot about stuff that I care a lot about. And they're just really smart and articulate, and a couple of exceptions.
Not your episode, Steve. He's talking about Scott McNulty.
Hello!
Hello!
It's sad when the guy who says 2 words per episode comes off as more articulate than you.
But they're well chosen.
Yes, he picks his spots. I think that's the big difference between McNulty and I. I carpet bomb, and he actually...
He just comes out of the bushes.
He takes aim first.
Boom, snipes.
He snipes,
and then
he re-enters the bushes.
Yep.
You're speaking metaphorically, or...
No, he actually casts
from within a bush.
In a sniper
outside of your house,
sniper lair, yeah. That's true.
He's got the whole crazy vagrant beard going now.
He does. He's even braiding it at this point.
No, I think he did that as a stunt, and he's now had it trimmed back. Because he hosted that Wharton Web conference, so he had to like get a haircut. Get
a little
his
bit
beard
of a haircut.
Trimmed.
Freaking hippies.
Comb the sparrows out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wash the stew.
I don't know. I don't know. I think the story is that you're too hard on yourself, and that when I try, I often feel like I'm coaxing you on the podcast because you're just so reluctant to be on and talk about anything. And yet, you know, your perspective, like in that Star Wars episode where made your wife very angry at you because we had you on a podcast for 3 hours and you had to apologize in the middle, and I heard it on the when you sent me the audio track. I actually heard you quietly apologizing to your wife for being on this stupid podcast.
Put it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I did use that because I'm going to use everything. Well, that's just how it's going
to
be.
To be fair, roughly every 2 hours he does that. You just happen to catch it during the podcast.
I got the audio.
He actually has written an app to tell him to apologize to his wife at regular intervals.
Oh, yeah? Well, so?
I'm rubber, you are glue.
Apologizomatic. Sure. I think some of it maybe is that you have set the standard so high that you cannot, you feel you can't cross it, which I don't think is fair.
No, I don't think so. It's just, I really have nothing else
to All right, Greg's out.
No, it's, I just don't. It's a perspective I've had on the internet and internet community that I don't see discussed much, and I realize it's a bummer of a topic, but I also think that it is something that is potentially legitimate.
You know, you talking about failure at XOXO, I think maybe this could be the thing you're better at than anybody else, which is talking about things like when the people don't want to talk about that, when things go badly. Yes. Basically taking people who are really up and being like, let me bring you down, you're too far up.
It's the human quaalude.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe we all get a little too enthusiastic and a little and run away a little too much. It's certainly,
I think it's part of the culture.
I think your core premise that you know, the internet exposes that none of us is the best at anything that we do because there are so many billion people on Earth, and there's always going to be somebody who loves that thing more than you.
Your uniqueness does not web scale.
No, that's exactly it. You are a beautiful, fragile flower in your own little world, but then when it's that proverbial one in a million that in China means there's 1,000 just like you, that's exactly it. That, you know, you lose that. And if you're,
I hadn't even considered the Chinese.
They're not into the culture, the stuff that we're into yet. Yeah. So right now you're okay with the Chinese, mostly.
You are a unique individual.
Big wave of depression.
That's right. Just like all the rest. Well, how long have we been? How long
way
has this therapy session been going with Greg? It's only been 37 minutes. It seems like forever, though, doesn't it?
Oh, believe me, yes.
Well, okay, we're going to have to scan your credit card if this continues.
The time is relative.
Yes, time is relative.
Yes, as we learned just last night.
Just last night we learned that, yes. That somebody can tell an anecdote, and it can go on. It seems like it goes on forever.
It really only lasts about 30 seconds.
Nobody here, though.
Yep. That is true.
Any other topics we should discuss?
Nope.
I feel like Greg.
Nothing for me.
Got anything more? What else? Sorry.
Oh, did you guys see the new Batman versus Superman poster?
Hey, there was a picture.
Let me tell you what I know
Wonder
about
Woman.
That Batman versus Superman poster.
Why are they fighting? They're
I know
both good guys. Why should they be fighting?
Because isn't that the superhero team up way?
You fight first, and then you realize
you meet. You fight. You realize it's all a big misunderstanding with a common enemy.
Yeah.
And then you team up.
I guess.
That's the playbook, right?
That's the way it's done.
I guess I remember last year being just so disappointed when they announced Batman versus Superman. I don't know what they announced. What terrible thing did they announce today? I don't even know.
They did a new picture of
They had a picture of Wonder Woman.
What did you attend today, incidentally?
Yes, they did have a picture of Wonder Woman.
Because we're looking for things to talk about.
I remember I
what
think
sorts
it was
of things did you do today?
Oh, I did some interviews and stuff.
Yeah,
it wasn't that interesting.
Oh, you didn't actually attend any panels or anything?
They weren't that interesting panels.
The
they were.
Is,
well, they never are.
Batman costumes, leave
but at least
them.
Burn.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd much rather see it's Ben rare. Affleck direct a Batman movie.
I'd rather see him make a Batgirl movie.
No, Affleck.
Somebody tweeted out a picture of a panel at Comic-Con that was
Burt Ward,
Adam West, and Julie Newmar.
And Julie Newmar, yeah.
And the room went nuts.
And
well, they're putting that out on Blu-ray this fall. They find that, and that apparently the rights
panel?
To the Batman series from the 60s, the rights were apparently locked up for years where it wasn't available on streaming. It was on there was a DVD release, but it wasn't available. And they apparently did the digital scan of all the film.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a Blu-ray, and then
that seems like an awful lot of effort for the Batman TV series.
Well, everything the nostalgia for that will cease very quickly. Now it's easily available.
Well, that's what happens. But everything that's been shot on film is going to make it on Blu-ray at some point because that's all high resolution stuff. So, and yeah, at some point, standard def is not going to cut it when you're trying to put it on TV.
I was thinking about that, right? Because there's this chapter between about. I guess the late 70s and the early 90s where everything was shot direct to tape.
Well, not everything, but a lot of things.
A vast majority of stuff. And that stuff is not going to scale.
It was mostly sitcoms.
They should just
not
throw
dramas.
It all away.
Dramas were mostly shot on 35mm.
And not speak of it again.
Yeah.
That was a rough period.
Nobody needs a Blu-ray of Three's Company.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Big Larry fan, aren't
Larry.
You?
Love that Larry.
Larry, so
or Mark and Mindy.
So Jason,
yes, Robin Williams' early work is not the treasure trove of an American master.
Something, right?
What got me excited at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Leaving,
right?
Leaving was great. No, it's interesting. I did some interviews and stuff, and I'm going to write up for stories for work, and that's fine. I think it's... I don't know. I went to a great session where people were talking about how they colorists who basically paint over the line art, and this great team of colorists is using iPads to do all of their art, or much of their art, which is amazing how far that technology has come. That both the input devices with the pressure sensitive styluses and the devices themselves have enough power that they can do this super high-resolution painting on an iPad, which means that their job is no longer tethered to a gigantic, computer screen at a desk. Yeah. They can actually, sit outside on a swing or a park bench or something and do their job, and it makes their job... What they said was colorists are the last in the chain, and so a lot of times it's sort of like you got to turn this around in a day.
Right.
And so now it doesn't completely...
Because the art's always late.
It doesn't completely... Yeah, everything else is late.
Bench time.
But so then they can go and sit out on the front porch and have a set a spell and also color a comic book. So I thought that was kind of cool. And this is the obligatory... If you had the over and under of the reference at 41 minutes, you win.
One of
the original artists for the Micronauts was there. And I got a sketch from it because
awesome.
So that was pretty cool of a Micronaut. So that was actually really great because he was the Michael Golden, who was the original artist in the first 12 issues. And to see the
guy, there a long line?
It was
the
a line of one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's done. Actually, he does a lot of the Walking Dead covers now.
Oh,
and he did a lot of Marvel and DC.
So are they robots
the
on
years.
The Walking Dead covers?
Are they robots?
Tiny robots.
Tiny, tiny robots?
You know, many of the Micronauts were not robots. They were people. They were just tiny people.
Faroid was a
tiny
not
people.
A robot.
Faroid, not
robot.
A robot, no.
I love my Micronauts.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Still bitter.
Should have used my idea.
Thank you, David.
So, I remember my Christmas with Micronauts.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Oh, man.
Christmas with Micronauts?
Yeah, they were great toys.
Oh, wow.
In like 77, 78. Yeah. Yeah, and so Michael Golden, great artist, still does lots of covers, does the Walking Dead covers, and was the original Micronauts artist. He's sitting there. I chatted with him for a little bit. And, again, this is the guy who created, the thing that made me love comics.
Mm-hmm.
He created all of those images. And
did you say that exact
thing
to him?
He was just a guy. I said, I know it probably feels funny that somebody comes up and tells you that work that you did for a few months in the 70s had a huge impact on their lives. And he said... It's great to hear it, even though, yes, it is ridiculous, I suppose. But he said it was, no, it's great. It's great to hear that. And then he did other comics, throughout his career who have hit, you hit somebody when they're 8 or 10, and that's that moment. And so to see him and end up getting a sketch from him, I thought that was really great. So that was a fun little personal thing in there. It's just I ran into him just walking down one of the aisles. And also the Chessex, the company that makes Dungeons & Dragons dice, they were there with Dungeons & Dragons dice of every color imaginable.
Wow.
And until this year, I would have walked past and been like, whatever, nerds. And instead I was like, ooh, I could get some dice. So that's my...
So see, you could become a bigger loser.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, I feel much better about myself.
I hope this makes you feel better, Greg. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. I actually got they make like giant D20s, and I was playing with Dungeons and Dragons with my kids the other week, and one of the problems was finding the dice and then like seeing what the number is. Now we've got like a like
it's like a
D20 the size of a
TV clicker that just has giant 1-inch square buttons for the old people.
It's that
same
for
as the Dungeons and Dragons dice.
How did that go, by the way, playing with the kids? Was it just a 2-person adventure? Or
so my wife, my wife played two. We used the 5th edition starter set.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be 4 or 5 characters, so I had kind of a dummy character that I ran to who didn't come up with any original ideas.
How I was going to make this happen, so
but it was great, and I tried to learn the lesson of the great DMs of history, like Scott McNulty and Dan Moore and Tony Sindelar, and do some characters and have some wackiness. And my son, for the week after we played, was like, oh, that goblin, oh, he was really funny. He kept complaining about things. And nice. Yeah. And then, oh, that, when he hit the hammer and it killed the guy with one swing, that was really great. So the fact that he's recounting, like, events in the story that we played,
right,
it's pretty great.
That's very cool.
So we had a good time.
I was reading through the sample adventure and thinking, why are these always 4, 5, 6-person adventures? Why do they not release more? Because there are far more people reading this book that are going to be able to scoop up maybe 2 or 3 people to play the game than there are.
My theory is that if I didn't think of this until later because I'm not a dungeon master. This is the first time I ever did that.
Well, you are now.
I am now. I'm waiting for my card in the mail.
There's a big backlog.
It's entirely your discretion. So if you want to play with 3 characters or 2 characters, you just reduce the number of goblins.
Well, you can do that, but at some point you're playing against one goblin in the hall where it's supposed to be the
barracks. The adventure of the lonely goblins.
He was just sitting there waiting for somebody to come by.
I guess when you're dealing with 10-year-olds, it's not as big a deal.
What news of the world? And then the goblin died.
And then you won.
The end.
The one goblin who
searched the premises
somehow
the,
ran this entire castle.
Yeah,
is no more.
Yeah, no, but it was great. The kids
it was
had a
just
good time.
A temp.
I'm trying very hard to have to get my kids exposed to as many nerdy things as possible.
Did you get through all of the Kragma hideout?
That's where we are. Is we got through the hideout.
Okay.
And they
seemed like a good first session.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to do that.
We have the thing on the road, and then they go to the hideout. And
so it was just the kids, or did your wife join in as well?
No, Lauren played too, and then I had my, and then my, and none of them had ever played before.
That's going to be the hard part.
Yes, please.
There's only one podcast at a time, and that was the part where we talked about Dungeons.
Yes, you missed the meeting notice on the wall that says one podcast at a time.
You introduce them to the original adventure. A hollow voice says, "Plume."
We will get there. I wanted to do as a creative project with my kids over the summer. I wanted to do a text adventure.
I tried, and they could not care less.
Yeah.
I started them with Zork, and I walked through. I got them, you know, suggested stuff and got them into the house. And as soon as I said, go, and they said, we're going to run Minecraft again.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of writing one, not playing one, actually, as like a writing project.
But you're in a maze of twisty little passages.
All alike.
Are all different.
So what software would you use
tried to get my daughter into Moonmist at one point.
How would you put it together?
And for her, she was very interested in the concept, and as long as I was kind of guiding her through it, she was cool with it. But when it came time to decide what she wanted to do next, that was just like overwhelming to her. Like,
they're voracious readers. They just don't want to. They want the story to spool out.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell her, you can do whatever you want. Say, what should I do? Well, whatever you want. Do you want to go down the hall? Do you want to, you know, do you want to talk to the lady?
That's how I had to explain when I ran the Dungeons and Dragons thing. Was like, you guys need to think of, like, you should examine things. You guys have to be creative here. I'm not going to just hand things to you.
It's
you need
so
to be
funny
creative.
For kids when they're left to themselves, they'll, you know, they are very imaginative in what they do. But trying to introduce them to the idea of role playing. To become a character, it doesn't click as easily as I thought it would.
David, the answer to your question is I've been looking at Playfic, PlayFic, which is Andy Bayo's site that does it. It is a web based thing where you can write and play text adventures. There's also an offline like text adventure compiler.
It uses Inform 7.
Yeah, they have their own language.
It's still there. Yeah, but Playfic.com, you can do it all online.
Yeah.
Awesome. That would be great.
What you just said about the kids doing role playing, what's interesting to me is that, at least with you know my incredible sample size of 2, what I found is when the kids are playing without an adult involved, like my son loves role playing. I eventually figured out he doesn't like to do a thing; he likes to pretend a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter with her friends, and they all play together, of course. But they're always taking on characters and coming up with scenarios and stuff.
Right.
But if an adult is involved in the
pressure's
play,
on at that point,
they want direction.
Right.
Which
I don't know if they're doing
really
it right at periods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to get over that because the same thing. I can hear my son when he's playing in the playroom and he's role playing all the, you know, the little Star Wars characters, the chunky guys.
Yeah.
And you know, he's talking to himself and he's making up little stories for himself. And if you sit down and try and do it with him, he'll look at you like, "Well, what do you want me to do?"
Yeah.
Like he's afraid to kind of make that step on it his own when I'm there in his presence.
Yeah, and like similarly, I guess it's. You know, anything with child rearing is that they have to experience it. They're not going to experience it the way I experienced it, right?
Yeah.
They're going to experience it their own way. And so, like, my son is going to turn 11 soon. I tried turning him on to Star Trek, and I quickly realized that he wasn't really that interested in it.
Which Star Trek?
The original.
Oh, okay.
Might
have been your first mistake.
Well, yeah, maybe. But if I sat there and watched it with him, he would stick with it, but he was clearly bored. Part of it was that the episodes then were longer than hour-long episodes now.
That's true. We discussed this on a Star Trek episode.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you talked about it. I listened.
Yes.
But so
now is your chance.
Brain and brain.
So what I'm seeing now is kind of a similar. Is they're finding their way to different characters through different properties. So like my son is again getting into Batman. So. I forget how he first discovered Batman, but for a while they were watching the 1960s series on Netflix, which they loved, and the original 1966 movie they watched many times.
My bus is here, I'm gonna have to go.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah.
Bus, Escondido Public Transit, welcome.
That's podcasting, man.
That is magic. that is magic. Well, my kids are really into the Marvel movies.
Yeah, mine too.
And I bought them, and actually I bought them like the Marvel Encyclopedia and tried to show them some of the Marvel All Ages comics. And that was like, okay, maybe. But then they watched the movies and they're like, then they're going through the Marvel Encyclopedia. So they came around a different direction.
Right.
Now there's this whole franchise of these superheroes.
And so what I found now is, so Batman for my son kind of came and went. And then he found
he
Batman.
He does that. That's sort of his thing.
Yeah, he kind
does.
He found Batman.
He's mysterious that way.
He found him again through the Lego movie. And then I remembered that Justice League
Batman.
Is on Netflix.
It is good Batman.
It's the best Batman in a while.
So I started him watching Netflix.
Will Arnett.
I started him watching Justice League. And that has certainly taken hold. So he's watching that by himself and getting to know the characters there. And he still hasn't found the comic books. And what he wants to do, because he's 11, and he knows about the Christopher Nolan trilogy, which I'm saying, no, you're not old enough for that yet. But I'm letting him work his way up to it. And what I kind of like about it is that along the way, he's learning that Batman and also characters have lots of different retellings. And he's just kind of getting used to that, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in this.
I'm sorry. This whole while, he has no idea that I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of long boxes in the garage.
Something tells me it's going to be a while before he can appreciate those, because I think in this age when you've got, you know, the Blu-ray and, you know, this, all of the streaming video.
Yeah.
Of every
well,
film
and you've
that's
got
ever
Lego
been.
Batman video game, right?
Right. I mean, you've got this far more advanced medium in which these stories are being told, and I think it's the same deal with the text adventure. They've got things that are more advanced and
kids
more,
these days
more
just like the sparklers and the pretty noises and the
when we just had words and verbs and parsers and.
Tables to bang and microphones to.
I'm curious to find out as my kids get older because they appreciate the things that are multimedia. You know?
Yeah.
But,
they love
but
the
I
movies.
Think once they're older, once my kids get to college, they're going to rediscover Watchmen just like I found
well,
it
in college.
Well,
that's what I'm curious to find out. Will they ever reach that point? Because right now you cannot force them into it. You cannot make them enjoy a text adventure,
but
even though you know they would.
When they are age appropriate to a sophisticated story that is exclusively in the comics, because there was no Watchmen movie,
they will go find the movie.
they will
and they will ruin
explore
the
comics.
Maybe.
And whether it's whether or not it's Watchmen or something else, they will find a comic that exposes them to the media.
One thing that I'm curious to see happen is that I have in the bookshelves in our living room, I deliberately have a shelf that is most of my graphic novels. Not all of them, because not all of them are appropriate. And they're also at a shelf height where a kid can grab them.
That kind of graphic novels.
So far, they haven't realized that they are there.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, they will.
I did finally shove Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1 in my daughter's hands and
every
said,
boy
you would
discovers
like this,
tentacle porn at the age that it's a put.
Whereas meanwhile, I've got Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, and one or two other in a separate shelf somewhere else in the house.
The funny thing is that
octopus? It
seems wrong.
And yet so wrong. When she was about 15, she discovered the annotated Alice and disappeared into that film.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, what have we learned?
Nothing. As usual.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, I think we've learned that Plan 9 has pretty good grub.
Yeah?
The grub here is superb. I was very impressed with their BLT. They happen to be in...
Escondido?
In historic downtown Escondido, and you feel like stopping in for a slab of pork belly on some rye.
We also learned an important lesson from David Sparks, which is that Greg needed a hug.
Needed a hug.
Happy to
know. You know, it changed his attitude, not one whit, though, which is...
I don't know. I think it turned him around a little bit.
It looked like a pretty solid hug.
Oh, thank God it was human contact.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the best at that, but you never had the opportunity to find out.
That's a great look for podcasting.
I'm about to experience some human contact here based on the way Greg is looking at it.
I'm just going to go on believing that.
What you just heard, folks, is the stare of death.
Yeah, that was nice.
That actually made the hair on the back of my neck stand.
Silent the Deadly.
Pretty solid. Maybe you're the best at that.
If looks could kill, you'd have left in a basket.
Yeah. Well, from scenic... Greg, you want to say something?
Really looking forward to hearing this episode.
Yeah. There's no episode.
This has got bonus track.
From scenic... Yes, three Zeppelins. Scenic Escondido, California. It is whatever this is. I'd like to thank the people at this table. Steve Lutz, thank you for being here.
It has been so much pleasure.
Well, the good grub helped a lot.
Good grub and good beer.
Greg Noss, thank you.
Eat it, Snell. Oh, no, wait, that's not my phrase. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody is better at that phrase than you. Andrew Lawrence, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure. Long time. It's been grand.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Right.
David Sparks, thanks for giving Greg a hug. He needed it.
You're welcome, Greg.
So can I get your number?
The internet is also good
thank
for
you.
That.
First time participant. Zero time listener. keep it that way. It's all for the best.
Okay.
And you've learned today that it's best to be avoided.
And from the streets of Escondido, full of buses, motorcycles, and many other things.
Use bookstores.
And from our fine radio station that played such hits as Benny and the Jets.
That's right.
And it has been the incomparable... Live after Comic-Con. Can I go to sleep now?
By the way, be sure to drop by the Glenn Gift Shop for your great finds.
We are right across the street from the Glenn Gift Shop. Let me borrow this for a minute.
To Glenn.
All right, there we go.
Stand in line for an hour and a half. 10,000 geeks who have not seen a bath since the late 1990s, or maybe it all. Just a taste of the stench that awaits in the convention hall. Then you're inside, and to your endless shame, you're mingling with mutants who make X-Men look tame. But that's nothing compared to the challenge you face. Do not throttle the dorks who line up for the Q&As. Comic-Con, what a man will endure for some He-Man collectibles. Comic-Con, a sweltering mecca for those with poor social skills. And thank God for the people I met from the net, so I don't have to chat with that overweight Boba Fett. Will I come back just for riff tracks next summer? You bet. You're late.